everyone, and welcome down to episode number 119 of the Down South Photo Show with me, Brendan Waits, here in Ocean Grove, Victoria, Australia. And the guy on your other screen or in your other ear, if you are listening to the show, it's Cam Blake in Hobart, Tasmania. Hello, Autumn. How are you? Hello, Cameron.
You know what? Hello. She said, am I going to get a shout out tonight? Am I going to get a shout out? I said, she was really worried about it.
And straight off the top, Autumn. There you go. Bang.
And she wanted to watch it live. I said, you're not watching it live, but you'll be able to hear it back. So, yes, hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Brendan. I feel like I've only seen you a couple of days ago.
We've seen each other a lot in the last few months, which is great. Because believe it or not, we're actually mates.
Believe it or not. It's strange.
Hard to believe, I know. It's weird.
It is.
But yeah, it's been good. We've been in contact a lot. I just got back from your home state the other day.
Yes.
What a trip. We will talk a lot about that tonight.
I was going to say, we're going to have a bit to talk about that trip. It was pretty action-packed. Things happening left, right, and center.
Yeah. I mean, I know you've done that area a lot, and that's great. But I think, would admit that we got some pretty good stuff on that show, trip.
We were kissed on the something by a tooth fairy.
On the Down South Photo Show.
Down South, yes. we were kissed on the Down South Photo Show. Yeah, it was awesome. We had a good time, but we'll definitely get into that as we get into the show.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was good fun.
So let's kick off and thanking everyone for liking, subscribing, following the show. We are at 790 subscribers. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming on board and sharing us around. We do appreciate it. We will have a little bit of homework before we launch into the show. One bit of homework is our March comp, the Blue Hour.
Yes.
I know it's getting well into April now, but the March comp People's Choice voting is up on our Facebook page. I haven't had a chance to have a look at that, Cam, but I've got a sneaking suspicion I know which image might be.
There was one that was leading the pack last week, and we've been away obviously since that, but
not failing to mention that we did have a week off. So thanks for everyone who gave us a week off. We appreciate it. Not many people gave us grief for having a week off, so thank you.
You guys are the best bosses ever.
They are.
We do have a clear leader in that. And it's the one it was leading last time. Relevant to what we're going to talk about tonight.
Okay, very good. I like it.
It's doing well.
And shout out to Laura, who won the comp last week, for getting in contact with us and letting us know that photo was actually in Iceland, it did look very New Zealand to me, but there you go. Iceland, yeah. Cam, you know, that's a very popular place to go and take photos, apparently.
It is, yeah. We get a lot of people asking me about Iceland and when we're going, and the answer is never, because it's too many people go there. Maybe one day we'll get there, but... It looks like an amazing place, but...
Yeah, well, of course it is. That goes without saying. But I think it's important to get to some places that people don't generally go.
Yeah.
Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to get something different and something pretty cool. Having said that, we've just been to Cradle Mountain, which is probably the most visited national park in Tasmania.
If not Australia. Yeah, that's right. We won't take our guests where everyone goes. We'll just go to Tassie, not popular. That's okay. No one comes here anyway.
I wouldn't bother. So backgrounds, I suppose we can kick off there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whose turn it is to go first. So rock, paper, scissors.
I won.
Yeah, I played paper. So you go first. Well done.
Okay, excellent. So no surprise, mine is from our recent trip, which was into the Tarkine and Cradle Mountain regions. So this one is from a pretty cool little spot called Sarah Ann Rocks. I think this is one of the most specky spots you can go in Tassie. And again, it's one of those places you could just spend days photographing forever. So this is on the first night we went there, or second night, I can't remember. We went there. Did we visit a couple of times or just the once? I can't even remember that.
We went to Sarah Ann Rocks just the once.
That's right, on the once, yeah.
But we were further up the coast the first night. This was night three.
That's right, we did. And we got a little bit of sunlight coming through after this storm rolled through. But that's our good friend Russell standing up the top there, who he didn't move much from that point or just below that point. He spent almost 2 hours there working on one composition, which is awesome. Sarah Ann Rocks, amazing spot. We had that sort of rain shower come through. It's a pretty dramatic and wild place. So definitely one to visit if you're going out that way. Or you can join us next year when we go there again. Pretty cool. And I just like the scale of Russell amongst those rocks, which is, funnily enough, a little bit similar to what you've got there with yours. You've got some
I
scale
know.
there. And
And we did not talk to each other about what our
nope, we did
backgrounds
not.
would be.
Nope.
I've actually been a little bit naughty. I haven't had much of a chance to go through all my photos from this trip.
Why not? I did.
Well done. I was sort of in the middle of running a business, but that's okay.
And I wasn't.
But the yeah, it was funny that we both ended up having the same background. So, dang, there's my background right there. Similar kind of theme. I've left the photographers in there as well. I think one of them's you, actually, Cam.
Oh, yeah, maybe on the right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think
But
so.
as you said, the light came through not long after you shot yours, and then
Yeah.
I was down lower. So I was
That's
getting a
right.
bit of light reflecting off the side of Sarah Ann Rocks, which was, man, what a, if you want drama, that's, yeah, I don't think you could find a more dramatic little coastline than that. I went for a little wander with Julie, with one of our customers, Julie, just to find a, something a little bit different, have a bit of a look around, and found that little composition there. Later on, when we go through a sort of five photos each of our trip, you'll see another shot that I got from this area as well. I was really happy with, but yeah, it was really cool. The light got softer, and then it got harsher, and then it got softer. It was great. So the light was changing a lot while we were there. And
Sure
that was
was.
good because it made a challenge not only for you and I, Cam, but of course for our customers. So we were able to show them how we would control the light and how we would shoot for that kind of light. So
Yeah.
that was a blast. Gee,
It's
we
a
were
bit.
lucky with the weather.
Yeah, I can. I'm telling you, people don't listen to me. I've got a direct line through the guy that organizes that weather. Workshops, I just seem to get real lucky, but I think I'm going to blow our own trumpet here a bit as well. We do study the weather a bit, and we do look every day as to
Of
what we're
course, we
going to
do.
do and where we're going to go. And I think it's good to go somewhere where people know the locations as well. So, you can sort of tell that if it's sort of going to be a stormy day with a bit of sunlight and stuff like that, this is a great spot to be. Or if it's going to be wet or rainy, you go into the forest and get that really
Yeah.
nice forest and stuff like that. So,
Which I
yeah.
think straight off the top is worth a massive mention. So, this was my first time going deep into the Tarkine. I had been through the area before, but very, very fleetingly, and I had other things to do. But, this was the first time sort of drilling down into the Tarkine, and having you there, of course, was awesome because you know
Of
all the
course.
great spots.
Oh, not just for my company, just yeah.
But you're exactly right in so far as if the weather looked a bit miserable, well, we'd keep away from the coast and we'd go into a forest. And there was a couple of times we're in the forest where it was clearly raining, but you wouldn't know, like,
No.
because you're under the dense rainforest canopy, and which, you know, of course, the water on the leaves and on the moss and all that sort of stuff only served to enhance our
Yeah,
photos, our photo
that's
experience.
right.
And because we didn't just get a rainy day, we had days where little fronts were coming across. You'd have bursts of sun in between to get the forest floor singing, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and again with that you sort of get that little fog rising from the forests and things like that. So again, it's photography is not just about location, it's also about conditions as well.
Yeah.
And I think if you get those right, you can go to Sarah Ann Rocks like behind us on a summer day, bright sunlight. It's terrible. It's too bright, it's too contrasty, it's too everything.
Yep.
But as soon as you get a bit of drama out there, it comes to life. So I think we did well. I'm pretty sure our customers were pretty happy everywhere we went. There was
Yeah.
one particular decision we made at dinner that turned out to be probably the best decision of the trip.
Yes, absolutely.
Um,
We'll get to
so
that.
yeah.
That was amazing. But yeah, I think from my point of view, again, being my first time going deep into that, the contrasting landscapes. I mean, my goodness, in the Tarkine alone, we could have spent 2 weeks in the Tarkine, longer, just in there alone. We only had 3 days or three nights, so 3.5 days technically. But starting at a place like Stanley, which is unbelievable. What a gorgeous little town. For those of you unfamiliar, Stanley is where the Nut is, which is this rocky outcrop that's right on the, it's like Uluru's jutting out into the ocean. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a weird look thing, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very, very cool. But the thing I loved about Stanley was just the heritage and how old the town is. And you know, you walk around Stanley and you just feel like you're back in the 1850s. Like it's such a cool little town, and the light there just seemed to be amazing all the time.
This is the thing that people, this is the one thing I noticed when I moved down here that I don't think people pick up on a small little trip is that the light in Tassie is different. It is
It is.
100% different to the mainland. It's softer. The sun doesn't get as high up in the sky. It stands a bit more up in the northern sky. And So you sort of get that nice light most of the day. So it's such a great place to take photos. And I think people come down here for a week and go, oh, I've seen all of Tassie. You know, you haven't. You might have seen a snippet of it, but if you stay here long enough, you'll notice that that light is awesome almost all year round. One thing I did like about Stanley was where we had breakfast, and maybe a bit of a shout out to the gang at Marley's, which is Cassie and Kel and the team, and that we had breakfast there 3 mornings in a row.
They didn't
Excellent
get sick of
service.
us and they
They
kept
did.
serving us up
Wow.
amazing food and just the service was immaculate.
It was good. So if you go on to Stanley, check out Marley's. It's on the main strip. There's only one main strip there.
You can't miss it.
Tell them I sent you, and then maybe take a step back and then see what happens. But yeah, no, it was
That
just
guy.
that guy. But yeah, Stanley's awesome. It's a great little town. To be honest, we only scratched probably about 25% of the tarkine as to what there is. It's a big, big region. We didn't get down to Carina, unlike as we promised on a little mistake on the email I made. But yeah, Carina's like down the southern end, and then you've got, Waratah and all that forest out there. It's a really cool area. So yeah.
Like I said, I felt like we only just scratched the surface. But for me, I think the interesting thing about the Tarkine, I kept hearing this phrase, the Tarkine. Like, and to me, that sort of echoes, oh, it's like the tundra or it's like Antarctica. It's like one region that's all amazing. The difference with the Tarkine is it's actually pockets of amazingness
That's right.
spread throughout farmland, which blew my mind. I mean, you're literally just south of Cape Grim. Which is probably the best, some of the best beef cattle in the world, if not the best, because the air at Cape Grim camp is
Pretty clean.
apparently the purest in the world, which is,
It is.
Tasmania, amazing.
I tell you what,
So,
I tell you what, it is not. It's probably not the cleanest air at the moment for the next week or so, because that air is not touched from pretty much Patagonia all the way around the globe to the west coast of Tassie. And unfortunately, someone is in Patagonia at the moment.
That's
So
true.
the amount of foul air coming out of that person at the moment is probably going to adjust the air quality coming through
And hot
Tassie.
air for that matter.
It'd be a lot of
So,
hot air. Yeah, it'd be like
temperature will go up a little bit.
It'd be pretty much like sewage gas coming all the way across. But
That's right.
you're right. It is little pockets all amongst these little foresty areas, and it's actually quite a very controversial area as well, because it's not protected apart from some of these little pockets. There's a lot of logging, and there's a lot of mining that goes on in there. So it is important, and if they could, they'd be knocking down some more of those forests we went through and stuff like that. I'm not a greenie at all, but I'm definitely a lover of nature, and these places need to be kept and somewhat protected so that we can see.
I like to think the very phrase greenie is now a thing of the past. I nor am I an environmentalist per se. However, because I'm lucky enough to quite often get into these areas for my photography, you can't help but be affected by it. Now, I want to make really special mention here, and I'm going to put a link to it in the description. The last day of the tour at Cradle, we were lucky enough to go into the Peter Dombrovskis section of the gallery at Cradle Mountain Hotel. Did I say all that right? Yeah, it's the is it the Wilderness Gallery? Is that what it's
It's
called?
the Wilderness Gallery, Cradle Mountain Wilderness Gallery, which is at the Cradle Mountain Hotel.
And we got in there and the Peter Dombrovskis room, which was absolutely brilliant. Because although I've probably seen all the photos 100 times before, it's the first time I've actually seen them on the wall as artwork printed. Well, they use the Durst Lambda print set for that, which is great, on Fuji Crystal Archive paper, framed properly. They looked amazing. Do yourself a favor, is what I'm getting at. If you're in Cradle Mountain, please go to that gallery and have a look. It'll blow your mind. But the real highlight was the fact that they showed the Wildness documentary, which was made in 2003, which it hasn't really dated that poorly. It's starting to look 21 years old, but and I would love it if they remastered it. But so I'm gonna it's apparently available on YouTube. Anyone can view it. So we're gonna put a link for you. It's about a 1 hour documentary. Do yourselves a favor. You may have heard the name Peter Dombrovskis and Allagas, I'm gonna mess his surname up.
Tricanus.
Thank you, Allagas Tricanus. You may have heard those names before, but not really made the proper link between exactly what they did for Tasmania through their lenses. I was actually quite moved by that documentary,
It
and
is, yeah.
it's so good. And so yeah, do yourselves a favor, check that out at some point after you've finished watching the Down South Photo Show, of course.
Yeah. It is, and I've seen that movie. I can almost do it word for word. Every time I go there, I sit and watch it, and every time I go there, I get moved. And it's just a story about two guys, not much different to what we do. We go out and take nice photos and enjoy where we're going. And I guess they were living in a time where what they did was really quite effective and not so saturated with social media where, these important issues get lost. But it's a great spot. The gallery's great as well. It's got some great images in there. Another one I've just chucked in our notes there. There's another link to a video on the Tarkine that we'll also put in the show notes. That's a
Fantastic.
really interesting video. That's another really good one that you should watch as well. Bren's on the region and why that region's quite controversial but also important. So, but yeah, that was good. The Tarkine was good. We had a great time, and then we may have moved somewhere else, did we?
Well, yeah, then we ventured ourselves to wonderful Cradle Mountain,
We
so
did, yeah.
where we pitched up for another 3 nights,
Intense.
and
We only put people in tents, so.
yeah, that's right. And by the time we got there, I felt like we'd already done so much, like we had such a massive tour already under our belts.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the fun was just beginning, wasn't it? So we,
Sure was.
when we got to Cradle, the weather for the first sunrise, now I'm going to stuff up all the timing here because we're a bit out of sync, but I
Yeah.
think the first day wasn't that flash. So I don't know, did we go out for sunrise the first day at Cradle? I can't remember now. I know we didn't on one of the days, which might have been the
Yeah,
last day, but
we did when we got there. We got in there. I think we went down to the lake
of course we did. Yes,
and
yes, yes.
had a look. We didn't get the greatest sunset. There was a bit of
No.
mood around, but then we went out the next morning and it wasn't terrible.
it got better on that day. The whole day actually really improved.
And then that night or that sunset was good.
Yes, that sunset was immaculate. And
And then,
but mind you, folks, between it wasn't like we just went sunrise, go to sleep, come back for the sunset. We spent the whole day shooting
we
while we're in
did.
forest. I did a natural light portrait workshop as well, which went over really well. And the na you know, it's so cool running that 1 hour session of natural light portrait inside a hut. Well, a chalet in this case that was built, what, 100 years ago. Well, it was rebuilt after it burnt down, but it was very authentic. And the light, for some reason, and again, it could be just Tassie light, and it could have been just the mood I was in. You don't find light like that anywhere else in the world, as far as I'm concerned. So running that little natural light portrait workshop while people shot the forest, and then people went to the forest and other people came and did the natural light portrait workshop. It was very cool.
It
Now,
worked
also, the
well.
little forest walks around the
Wild Home Village.
thank you. And you know all the names. I struggle with all the names because we went to so many different spots.
You got the Wild Home Village where you did the natural light portrait workshop, which again was really cool. And then you walk around the Weindorfer's Forest Walk, which had loads of fungi, some incredible old kingbillies and pencil pines, stuff like that. But then that night we had a good sunset, and we were all pretty happy with that sunset, weren't we? We were pretty happy. We were pretty knackered. It was been a long day. And then we went and had dinner, and then you made a joke.
Well, I looked around the table and everyone looked pretty tired.
They were
Us
all very
included.
pretty
Us
knackered.
included. Yeah, it had been an accumulation of sunrises, sunsets, sunrise, and that adds up.
It does.
A bit tired. So I decided I'd be funny, Brendan, and crack a joke and just say, "Oh, look at that. The aurora apps are all pinging. There's a massive aurora down at Cradle Mountain right now." I was joking.
Yeah, you were joking. And it didn't happen. So we went to bed, didn't
And as it turned out, one of our clients decided, "Oh, really?" And they looked up the Glendale app on their phone, and lo and behold, it was true. I wasn't. I mean, and the odds of that happening are like what, 1 in 100, like something like
Oh,
that.
yeah, one in a couple hundred, maybe. Yeah.
And I said no. I thought, "Oh no, you're
Now
joking back at
you're
me,"
taking the
sort of
piss.
thing. And then someone else said, "No, it's," and we're like, "Right, guess what we're doing, folks?" I mean, we couldn't not. We
We
had to
could
just
not
say,
go. And
"Let's go."
and considering the weather that was all around us on that those couple of days, we walked out and it was clear as a bell. So that and a little bit like a little crescent moon to light foregrounds up. But not everyone came. A few people decided to go to bed, didn't they?
Yeah, which was interesting to me, but hey, you know, each their
Yeah.
own.
And we're not, we wouldn't dare name him on here, would we?
No, we certainly would not.
No.
But unfortunately, they didn't get Aurora photos over Cradle Mountain.
No. Did
Even
we?
just hearing myself say that is just
Yep.
like, you did what now?
So yeah, we should really put one up on the screen, but of course,
I will. So
is there one coming up?
there will be. So, folks,
Okay.
this is where, if you are listening to the show, we are about to get very photographic heavy, and we understand that this is a visual section. So, look, for the next probably 20 minutes, we're going to have Cam's going to show five of his photos from the trip. I'm going to show five of my photos from the trip, one of which will be the Aurora towards the end of this. So, stick with us for that. But if you are listening along in your car, you might want to skip forward 20 minutes. Up to you. You can still, we'll try and give you the 1,000 words per image, but yeah,
Or
unlikely.
you could go to dsps.com.au
Well done.
and there is a shot of the Aurora. I put my one up, but I don't want you to take offense at this.
That's fine,
But
mate.
I put mine up because yours was as a portrait one that I could find.
Yes.
And it just didn't work for the
No,
orientation. But it looks
no.
like mine. So it's the same
Yeah,
thing.
the portrait one I shot was actually shot on my
And
bloody iPhone.
yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, folks, I didn't just use my iPhone for the
Didn't.
Aurora, but what amazed me, and this is an aside, and no, I'll say it now. When we saw the Aurora there, to be able to get out of the bus, see, we could just faintly see a bit of fog on the horizon. You know the look for an aurora. It's sort of like, it looks like mist, but you can still see the horizon, if that makes any sense. And we could see the outline of Cradle. So all I did was just held my phone up. It's an iPhone 15 Pro, pointed it towards the aurora and just took a photo. It naturally did a 3 second exposure and instantly showed me that there was an aurora on the horizon.
Yeah, I
So
must
that
admit.
made our decision very, very easy that yes, we're going to shoot this thing.
Well, when I got off the bus, I felt like I was John Lennon because
Yes.
we got mobbed
We did.
by groupies, really.
We did. There was
Yeah.
four or
It was.
five people there that didn't speak good English, to be honest. So we had to sort of help them a little bit, and
Well,
they were trying to.
they knew one word, Aurora. That's
They
that's
did, yeah.
the
So we picked up on that,
yes.
and they decided to follow us down, which was totally fine.
Yeah.
Luckily, we took a couple of shots, and they were kind enough to leave us to it.
Yeah.
After getting their own photos of the Aurora. Anyway, without any further ado, shall I attempt technology, Cameron?
I think we're going to have to edit this little bit, I reckon, because we'll be here for 10 minutes trying to get this screen up, I reckon.
No, definitely not. You ready for
Yeah.
this?
Ready?
If I
I'm
push
ready.
this
Please fail.
and then this and then go here.
Oh, there's a picture of your. No, it's not. Okay.
Can you see that, Cameron?
I can see a picture of the Aurora, yes.
Don't be like
No,
that. That is
I
not the
can't.
Aurora shot.
Oh, okay, that's not the Aurora.
So basically, Cam, the first five photos are yours and the second five
Okay,
photos are mine.
cool.
So go ahead, tell the viewers what we're looking at.
Okay, so I made myself a bit of a challenge on this trip because, as you've mentioned, I have frequented these places quite a bit over the years. So I decided that for the entire trip, I was going to shoot nothing but black and white. Even though I was getting raw color files, I was shooting everything with a color profile in the camera. So I was doing everything in black and white. So, which turned out to be, I think, a good decision. I actually got some really nice shots I was happy with and saw things a lot differently than what I normally do in color. So this first shot is a shot on the morning after the Aurora. So we had this great sunset, but then we had this really sort of beautiful still sunrise. So this is a shot just down by the lake's edge with the Cradle Mountain and the two peaks of the mountain reflecting in the water. There's a little bit of low-lying fog over the water and a little bit of low-lying fog just in the little hills there. But it was just one of those classic Cradle Mountain mornings that you don't get very many of each year. And yeah, it was just a really straightforward shot. Like I
Yeah.
said, black and white. It's got some nice light
How
on the peaks
awesome
and
is
stuff.
it that the foreground lines match up with the reflected lines of the mountain?
Yeah, it's pretty
Obviously
cool,
that
isn't
was
it?
obviously that was intentional, but to
Yeah.
find that was pretty cool.
Yeah. No, there's a couple of spots along that lake where Cradle Mountain just sits perfectly in a little gap and gets sort of framed up with foliage as well. So like I said, I know that place pretty well, but
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
about th there's a three or four spots along that lake where you can sort of create that sort of look where the reflection's almost framed in a perfect little gap in the foliage of the foreground. So
So to really help the viewers out here, if you are at Cradle Mountain at the visitor center and you go straight ahead to the boat ramp for all intent and purposes.
Yep.
You head slightly to the left of the boat ramp to get this shot.
So to get this shot, you've got to go back along the lake to the left across a little bridge heading towards that glacier rock, which is out on the left-hand side there. It's probably 20 metres, 30 metres up from the bridge, just on the side of the track. So that's just taken from the track. It's not bush bashed or anything, but there's a few spots on that section where you can get that sort of nice little reflection sort of captured in that gap as well.
One thing I was stoked with was the condition of the place. The tracks are in immaculate condition, very well signposted. Clearly, they get a lot of visitors there, so they've got to make it as easy as possible for people to get around, and I understand that.
Absolutely.
That was one thing, though, that – I mean, I'm always impressed by that in Tassie. You know, the Three Capes, the Overland, and now Cradle. But awesome, awesome. Shall we go to the next photo, Cameron?
Yeah, I think that's good. Yep,
let's see if this works. Hey.
Oh, it does. All right. Good. So the next one on the screen is, so in a couple of weeks, I got some macro workshops that I'm co-hosting with a lady called Cheryl Davis from WA. She's a really good macro photographer that's coming over to co-host. So I thought, geez, I better get my ass in gear and practice because she's a lot better than I am. And I don't really want to let the team down. So this is a photo of I guess you could call them. It's not actually a photo stack. It's a sort of a stack of mushrooms all in the log. And they're what they call the Mycena interrupter, which is a very popular little mushroom down here. It's like a vibrant sort of electric blue that people find on them. And I had to get down quite low. Practically my camera is sitting on the ground for this, sort of looking up with the macro lens. And it's also got the flash diffuser that I had attached on it. So I thought it was pretty cool just how they all sort of vanish into the background and the color at the back against the black background sort of works. But they're very cool. They're only tiny. They're probably, I don't know, size of your fingernail. They're not big.
Yeah.
But the macro lens, they sort of stand out pretty well. But
yeah, I found them hard to spot. You got to sort of keep your eyes peeled for even though they are blue.
Yes.
They're so small.
Yeah.
As Cam said, like the size of your thumbnail sort or fingernail sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just for the viewers, Cam, what lens was that with?
So that's the 60mm macro Olympus lens. So it's an f/2.8 with a Olympus flash, and it's got one of these special diffusers on there. So it's actually a flash shot, which is how you can create those sort of black fall off backgrounds. But you're right, they're not big and they are hard to spot. But once you sort of spot a couple, they start standing out. It's like when you, I was saying to Cheryl the other night, like Lego, you know, you used to try and find all the bits of Lego and you're looking for like a square bit with three things and you can't find it. But once you find one, you find them all.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's one of the real skills of people that do macro photography. I know she's very good at it where she'll just walk through the forest and like, oh, there's a bug over there. I'm like, where are you looking? Like, there's nothing there. And, you know, there's one against the tree there. So you certainly have to train your eye for it. But once I saw these guys, I'm like, oh, there's a heap over there. There's a heap over there. And I just thought it was a cool little shot. And I like the color of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, amazing. And amazing sharpness, which, you know, you're handheld. But, of course, this is where flash is so good because it can shoot it. Higher speeds, so when you're handheld, you can achieve this.
Well, that's 250th of a second. And talking about detail, that big mushroom right in the middle of it.
Yep.
Just on top of that, I noticed the other day when I zoomed, there's a tiny, tiny microscopic bug sitting on top of it.
It would have to be so small.
It's tiny. It'd be a fraction of a millimeter big, and it's sitting amazing. on top of this thing. So when you zoom in on this shot, you can actually see this little bug. I didn't see it until I got on the computer, but I'll claim that I did.
Yeah, I mean, macro and Tasmania just go hand in hand.
Photography and Tasmania just go in hand. Everything's down there is just awesome.
True, true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never seen sort of so much fungi, which is very, very cool. Cam, fungi is more of an autumn thing. Am I right in saying that? Or is it a year round?
It's more of a cooler month. So usually around here this time of year until maybe around about August.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit of it around. But then again, in some of the wetter plates in summer, you do get some other types of fungi coming through. We have one that's called a ghost fungi that glows in the dark, which is very cool. And again, this is one of those ones where it's mainly in the sort of pine forest that you see them. But you get into this pine forest and you're like, okay, I can't see anything. But you let your eyes adjust and all of a sudden these green glows around the bottom of all the trees start appearing. It looks fantastic. Apparently, the indigenous back in the day, the indigenous people used to call them falling stars because it looked like the stars had fallen into the forest and lit up the forest.
Awesome.
Very, very cool. So, but yeah, mainly this time into around about the end of winter.
Yeah, I love it. Cool. All
Yeah.
right, let's go to the next one, shall we?
Number three. Right.
Ooh.
Well, that's my background. No, it's not. It's different
This,
to my
well,
background.
it's different, but it's
Different.
the same spot.
Different but same spot. Yeah, I chose this one because it didn't have Russell in it. Just didn't want to get his head in it. He seemed to put his head in everything, Russell. He's a good sport, Russell. I like having him on trips.
Yeah,
We
because
did
he
a lot of.
vanishes and we don't have to do anything with him.
Yeah, he just disappears and does his own thing. It's great. Yeah, so this was another one from Sarah and Rox. And I was talking to our customer Ming when we were here. He was just off to the right. But what I really liked was that foreground rock. I sort of wanted that. And that was getting a bit of light coming in from the side. So I thought I'll use that as a bit of foreground interest with the leaves, the grasses moving. And this is, as you can tell, it's a slow shutter speed. I've handheld this about a second with the Olympus camera, just to get that water a bit blurry. So it's a little inlet there, and that always makes really good water movement. It sort of comes in and out really quickly. But I just liked the composition and I liked the sort of color of it. And it was just after that rain shower had passed, so not long after the one in my background here.
Yep.
Again, it's just like shooting a fish in a barrel, that spot. Everywhere you point a photo.
It is,
So,
yeah. That's
yeah.
what I definitely found around that area. And I love that shot because the movement in the water is what sets it off, if you
Yeah.
like.
Yeah.
It wouldn't that photo wouldn't work if it was just a shot of that wave
Yeah.
frozen, if you like at a
Yeah.
faster shutter speed. The composition's really good. I remember when we were mucking around in that spot because Ming was really keen to learn the built-in ND filters, which I'm assuming you've used to do
That's
that
right.
shot.
That's right. Yeah.
So we got him set up with that on. We shot tripod, but only so we could show him exactly the difference between
Yeah.
the longer exposures and not using an ND filter at all. And I think Ming managed to get, I think he got a tighter crop than you,
He
like
did,
closer in on the
yeah.
rocks there.
Yep.
And
Yep.
geez, he had some fun painting with light in there. That was awesome.
Yeah, it is good fun. The long exposure, even if you don't have it inbuilt, like you said, that water. I think something that works really well with this location is you can see it with your own eyes, the drama and destruction of weather has done on this coastline. So whether or not it's the rocks that are all sort of sheared off or even that foreground rock, you can see it sort of bent over a bit, which has just been worn by years and years and years of weather. By having that water showing movement, I think it sort of ties in with the destruction that the weather does. So yeah, it's a great spot. Every time I go back there, I find a new little spot to go to, and you never lose. It's unreal.
It blows my mind that if you look towards a horizon in that photo, it blows my mind to know that you've got to keep going so far. You've also basically got to go two-thirds of the way around the earth before you hit
Yes.
more land.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but surely that has to be the world's most exposed coastline, like in terms of
Yeah.
distance to other landmass.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I guess that, well, it'd be similar to the Patagonia, that last bit of South America,
Looking the other way.
looking the other way, it'd be a similar sort of thing where, but you're right.
You actually look past South Africa there, guys. So,
Yeah,
because I
yeah.
was looking at it and Cam mentioned it a couple of times. I'm like, no, surely it'd be South Africa. No, it's beyond
Yeah. Yeah, we're
that.
further south than that, and
It's crazy.
I don't think it's too far below South Africa in terms of distance, like it might be 1,000 kilometers or something like that. But yeah, it's pretty amazing when you look at
Yeah.
it. If you go the obviously if we go the other way, we've got New Zealand on our coast. But I'm just looking at it now. Yeah, it covers underneath there and smashes into somewhere, probably around about, whatever those place, Comodoro Rivadavia in the South America. Well, the Falkland
Incredible.
Islands. The Falkland Islands would be something amazing to see, but
Insane.
It's a big stretch of weather, which is what for millions of years has just done what it's created.
Yeah,
Yeah.
fantastic. All right, let's flick over to the next one, shall we?
Let's
You know.
another black and white one. So like I said, I shot black and white the whole time. I actually didn't think I would. I thought I'd get about a day in and go, oh, bugger this, I'm going back to color. But what I noticed is a lot of shots, you can see in this one we've got the dark skies of the coastline and those white clouds in front of it. That happened a lot on this trip where we just had some weather behind these like big fronts coming through in front of these sunned up and lit up sunny clouds. So, but this one's from the edge of the world, which is an appropriate name for it. And some people call this rock the Australia Rock. It's off the coast about 500 meters or so, but it just gets smashed and it just gets really nice light and nice sort of sea spray all over it. So we all took this shot on the time we got there, because we got out of the bus and I think it was you said, stop talking, start shooting. This light's
Yeah, because
incredible.
that was it was the first taste. It was the first shot of the trip.
Yep.
We got out of the bus, walked around well, there was maybe a couple of shots to be had beforehand, but this to me was the spot that kicked it all off for us.
Yeah.
And the fact that from first shoot to last shoot on this trip, we had light like this,
Yeah.
was pretty amazing. And to be served that up, I think instantly put all of our customers, myself included, into gear and into the right mindset. So,
Yeah.
you'd hate to take people to the first location. You get to here, and it's either a pure blue sky
Yeah.
with no swell, or
Yeah.
it's pouring rain. You know, you
Yeah.
wanted this in between where you've got this gorgeous light coming through. And I think from memory, we started shooting here, we got maybe 10 minutes of good
Yeah,
light.
we only got 10, 15 minutes tops.
But that's all it took.
That's all it took. And that's sometimes it's a good lesson as well. Like this is, like I said, this is the first day we got there. We got our accommodation, got everyone sorted out. So you're sort of pushing a bit uphill to get sort of out to that coastline in time. But that sort of tells you that, get there a little bit early before the drama happens or before the sun goes down. And yeah, it's a great spot. And I've had shots from here of waves crashing over the top of that thing on a real wild day. You cannot stand up on the coastline on a wild day here. It'll literally push you over. So we got really lucky with that light and drama and haze and the sea spray and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think you're right. It kicked people into gear. And I think it also told people, oh, okay, we're really going to be doing some wild stuff here. Time
And
to,
I think the
yeah.
way we structured it as well, or to your credit, the way you structured it was we didn't just spend a big chunk of time on the coast, we didn't spend a big chunk of time in the forest, we alternated.
Yep.
And that it was sort of like a palate cleanser. Like you'd come back out feeling fresh, and this is a new landscape and a big landscape. You go
Yeah.
from enclosed spaces within the forest and shooting your fungi and that sort of stuff to
Yeah.
this.
Yep.
And that taught people a lot about landscape photography being so vastly different from
Yeah.
working in enclosed spaces to big wide open skies like you've got there.
Yeah,
Awesome.
totally. Cool.
Let's go to the next one. This is cool.
Yeah, so again, black and white. I think black and white lends itself to doing sort of more almost travel slash street photography style stuff as well, which is what I thought this was. This is the wonderful Anne who kept us laughing the entire trip. She's an absolute gem.
Good value, Anne.
She's great value. This is her taking a photo down the fence line of the old ruins up near Highfield House, I think it's called, in Stanley, near the Nut. But I just thought it was a great little shot of her in action. I sort of did focus a bit on this trip of taking a few more people shots as well with people in landscapes. But again, I just like the line of the fence and the old ruins right at the very back out of focus and just purely focusing on the back of Anne taking her shot there. We had a really nice sunrise come through there. And yeah, it was pretty simple. Just turned around like, oh, that's a nice shot. I think I shot F2.8 on Anne. This is the lens I love. I shot a lot of stuff on this lens. It's the 75mm 1.8 Olympus lens. So it's a 150 mil equivalent. But if you own Olympus or Panasonic system, go out and spend $600 or $700 on this 75 mil lens. It is one of the best lenses you can buy for money. And it's just beautiful soft backgrounds when you need them. It's ultra small. It's ultra fast. It's such a cool little lens.
I think one of the benefits of being in your backyard for this trip was, don't take this the wrong way. You've shot these image, you've shot these places a lot, so you're constantly on the lookout for something different. So shots like this happen, and then when you show people who are there for the first time the diversity of the shots,
Yeah.
it's like, wow, you saw that, but literally, if Anne did a 180,
Yeah,
she'd
that's
have the
right.
most incredible sunrise across Stanley. She'd obviously already shot that, and now she was shooting this. But you gave up on that to chase shots like this. So that was really cool. And I'm kind of optimistic that that's going to happen when we do our Great Ocean Road workshop, when we get to the 12 Apostles, which you've shot a bit, but I've shot a lot.
Yeah, that's right. The
And
roles will be
showing
reversed.
people, that's right. And
Yeah.
showing people, how to pick up the detail shots like this. That is a cracking travel shot. That's
Yeah.
really cool.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, and you get, and I think that's why I did challenge myself with black and white because I had been to these places so many times. And then as I started shooting black and white, things just started, sounds wanky to say, but things started talking to me differently. So it's like, okay, this is not all about this color and beautiful sunset or sunrise. It's about moments and drama, and that's what black and white can capture. So again, highly recommend people to shoot black and white if you go out there. You've always got that raw color file to come back to, but sometimes it's good just to switch the color off and have a bit of fun.
And it was interesting because you did a shot. I can't recall exactly where it was, but you took it, and it was a great photo. And you were like, "Oh, it's black and white. Oh, hang on, I've got the raw, so I can, yeah." And that was cool. It was,
Well, that's like the I did one in the Aurora. I did black
yeah,
and
that's
white
right,
Aurora. And I went, well, I've committed to this shit. I can't change it. Even though I did in the end, but like I still had the color, but I shot everything the whole time in black and white. So even when I posted that next morning, I posted the Aurora in black and white. And it felt rude to do so. It felt wrong. But you know what I mean? Like you get still created a shot, but yeah, it's good. It's good.
You tell me another photographer that's ever posted an Aurora shot in black and white.
There will be too many, I don't think.
I
Maybe you.
don't think it's ever happened.
Well, but the other thing, the only reason why I did post it in black and white because there was a beam, one of those shafts.
That's right.
So you could see that. I'm like, well, people will see that and they'll know what it is, but the rest
Yeah,
of it's just
exactly.
black and white. So, yeah.
Cool. Good stuff, mate.
I was committed.
Let's go to the next shot. This is me.
This is you. We're on to
We're
you
in your
now.
mind. Yeah, so this was at Sarah Ann Rocks, so the place where Cam got a couple of photos before. So the weather was coming across, it was dark, moody skies. We got a bit of a shower. I loved it because what it did, it freshened the place up all of a sudden. I mean, literally, we got a shower that lasted 20 seconds where it was relatively heavy, but it freshened the joint up a little bit. And then, of course, invariably, when you get these things, the light comes straight after it. So I just walked with Julie, one of our clients, on a little way further down the track. And you can see off to the left, there's a bit of a track that heads up and then goes behind that rocky outcrop. I just wanted to keep going. Like I could have happily walked along there for the next hour. Of course, I didn't because I was on a workshop and I'm helping people take photos. But it was one of those opportunities where the light was there immediately, which rarely happens, and I love it when it does because as listeners to the show and watchers of the show know I'm an impatient bastard when it comes to taking landscape photos, which sounds like an oxymoron. But I love this. This was just really nice light. I was able to just get a little bit in the foreground as well. So nature helped me out here. So I was happy with that.
I love the little three tufts of grass in that foreground. They're cool.
I
Just
mean
like
that, and
just catching the light. It's really
yeah,
nice.
and so clearly the focus here was the rocky outcrop in the distance. And like Cam and I tell everyone on the workshops, we meter for the light that we see. So I wanted that to be the highlight. And luckily, the little tufts of grass in the foreground were just catching the last bits of the light, and it sort of painted itself into the foreground for me. So
Well, if they're not there, it's just a dark foreground. It's
it's
just a
flat
big
as.
it's a big black sort of mess in that bottom right. So
And the other thing I
that
like about this shot is it's Sarah Ann Rocks, but you can't see the ocean.
That's
So
right. Well,
what?
it
Like, that
is
doesn't
like
matter. You
being
don't have to.
it's like being on the moon though. You look one way and you're like, where the hell are we? It's
Yeah, no,
crazy.
it was very sort of Mars-like, Martian-like. So
Very
that was
cool.
that one. And we'll go to the next one. Here it is,
Oh,
folks.
there you go.
So this was my shot. And look, I'm going to be honest, I haven't had a close look at all my shots of the Aurora, but this one stood out quickly while I was putting something together for the show. This is shot on the Olympus EM1X with my 7 to 14 f/2.8 lens, slightly cropped in. I think I've actually shot this closer to 14 than 7. In fact, I definitely have shot this closer to 14. Man, I'm so proud of this photo. It's one thing to see this stuff. It's another thing to take a cool shot of it. And, this is something I'll have forever now, and I'm really, really happy with it. I was concerned at the time that it wasn't getting it sharp, sharp. And to be honest, it's probably not pin sharp. Now, that could be a couple of factors. One was me rushing to get these shots because with a cloud, remember, Cam, the cloud
That's
was
right. The
starting to come across.
cloud came in behind us. That's right.
So I was sort of like, oh, crap, I've got to get this, So, but look, I'm overall probably it's as good as I could have done with it. I will be honest and let you know that I have cloned out a tiny speck of light that
Oh
was on the
no.
right-hand side because someone was painting with light. They were lighting up the Dove Lake boat shed,
Yes, that's right.
and that was, I mean, it's tiny, like it's literally it looks like a star that was sitting there. But I got rid of that, but
But that's okay. You can do that for that kind of stuff. The fact is
yeah.
you haven't photoshopped in beams of light and
No,
the Death
and I
Star or
think,
anything like
and
that.
you'll be the judge of this, Cam, because you were standing literally right beside me when we shot this. I'm always concerned with this stuff as far as over-editing is concerned,
Yeah, no, that looks, that's not over, it's not overcooked. That's
yeah,
fine.
that's, and if anything, if we were good photographers, we would have been back 4 hours later when it was even more intense than this.
Well, that's the thing. Well, I actually don't think we would have seen it. I think our cloud stayed there for a fair bit of the night.
Good point.
But around the state, it went berserk at
It
about
did.
sort of 3 or 4
It
o'clock in the morning when we were well and truly tucked in the bed and staying warm. But
did.
yeah, look, getting the Aurora over Cradle Mountain, I've been there. I think I've only got two or three. It's probably the third time I've got a shot there of the Aurora.
Yeah.
And I've had some bigger ones and smaller ones. But I actually think these ones work nicely, just that subtle color. Without something too crazy, because it just, I think it still focuses yourself. Oh, that's Cradle Mountain. That's that classic shape. And there's a beautiful bit of light behind it. So I think it's well
Yeah.
done. And
Thank you.
it was cool that you got to see it.
I mean, look, to be honest, Cam, this was the shot. We all got it. We all got this shot. And
Well, not
it's what
everyone
it.
got it. Not everyone got it.
Oh, well, I haven't seen everyone's shots, but the ones
Well,
I've seen from the five of us that were there, six of us that
the
were
ones that
there.
stayed in bed didn't get it.
Well, this is true. But for the six of us that were there,
We all got it. We all got it.
we all pretty much got this shot. The thing that I love about it is we've banged on ad nauseum on this show about auroras and about having something awesome in the foreground. I mean, yeah, it still blows my mind that I can even look at this photo because, to be able to have seen that in that location, was pretty cool. And the other thing, the kicker was, yes, there was a crescent moon. That's why you can see detail in the mountains.
Yeah, that was it. If you're going out to shoot an aurora, that was the ideal conditions to do it. A crescent
Pretty
moon to give
much.
you some foreground light, and if it was clear at 3 o'clock in the morning, we would have got the best shot you've ever seen
Yeah,
from
true.
Cradle Mountain. So
Yeah.
it
And
lined up really well.
yeah, this one is going to find its way onto my wall at home for sure.
One thing that was really cool about that moment was just the excitement in the group that we
Oh,
had.
yeah.
So the guys who came down, it was cold. It wasn't freezing cold, but it was cold.
It was fresh.
It was dark. It was tricky to set up things. You could feel there was a bit of panic to make sure everyone got their shot set up and they're going to miss it. And then the clouds started coming in. But by that time, we'd all had a few moments to get shots and stuff like that. But I always sit back on those moments like that as a group and go, cool, this is why we get paid for what we do,
Yeah.
is to create these moments for people, who wouldn't normally see this.
For those playing along at home and want to know, I actually think I shot this at F4. I will check and confirm that, but I'm pretty sure this actually was at F4. 15 seconds, 1600 ISO at F4 on the M1X with the 7-14 F2.8. So, yeah, really, really happy with that. So, as much as I'd like to just stare at that photo for the rest of the podcast, we'll move
Yeah.
on. So this was
Ooh.
the following morning.
Yeah, another crap morning in Cradle Mountain.
Just shocking. And of course, this is at the Dove Lake Boathouse, which I got the quintessential photo. Everyone's got it before. It's a great shot. I know why people shoot it. I was happy to get it. What I love about this shot is if you have a look at the vegetation just behind it, the mist rising off the lake is what gives it its separation from the background. So I was looking for a composition that clearly said we're at Cradle Mountain, and yeah, I mean I'm forever after something different, and as we all are. So this is using the 100 to 400, probably at about 100 mil, so 200 mil in 35 mil speak, and yeah, just focusing on the little vegetation that you see and picking up the awesome reflection because it was such low light and there was only really light kissing the top of Cradle Mountain, so.
Yeah, it's cool. The reflections you get off that lake are just stunning.
It's nuts.
And if you get a little bit of that mist and fog hanging around it, just adds, like I said, adds a bit of separation. Sometimes it can sort of just fog up that reflection a little bit just to give it a bit of difference. But
Yeah.
yeah, that's a classic shot with that classic vegetation. Everyone knows what that shape is upside down in the
Yeah,
reflection.
that's right. Maybe I should have flipped
Well, that's
it.
the thing. You could have flipped it. Now,
Yeah.
the first thing I look at that shot is I look at the top and go, oh, gee, it's a little bit off kilter,
Should
but
I try and flip it?
but it's not. You can try and flip it if you want.
No, yeah, sorry. You go ahead. I didn't mean to talk over you.
But it's one of those. Cradle Mountain has a very, very hard horizon to manage
Yeah, definitely.
because it's got these little peninsulas that come out on the lake that skewish what looks like a horizon.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many times I've tried to straighten up a Cradle Mountain shot. I'm like, no, that looks wrong. Just because the lake looks great, the mountain looks like it's on a tilt. That's real tricky. There you go. That's and then flip it the other way. Flip it
That's
horizontal as well.
kind of weird, isn't it? It's...
Can you flip it horizontal?
No, not in the
Oh,
program I'm currently in. But yeah, that's kind of interesting. Don't know why I did that. I just
yeah, because you
bloated through
can.
them. Because I can. Exactly. All right, next one. So then we've got, oh, no, thank you. There we go.
Cool. Would you like to save changes?
Inspired
Oh,
by Cam Blake.
he's a wanker, that guy.
So we were chatting away and you were telling me about black and white. These Pandani, the way they were lit with the shadows in the background, just making them stand out, just screamed black and white to me. So I thought I'd give it a crack myself. And
Yeah,
you know,
you cracked
the
well.
light on them was incredibly harsh, but there's something about it. There's something I like about it. It's a bit of a messy frame, and probably the little Pandani in the front right that's quite out of focus ruins it a little bit. But I could not get enough of these things, Cam.
Yeah, is that up Ronnie Creek?
Correct.
Yeah. The Pandanis are awesome because they grow like families. So you got like a couple of parents and then a couple of kids in the family. But they are very photogenic. Whether or not they're getting lit by sunlight, covered in snow, surrounded in fog, whatever it is, they're very photogenic, and they look prehistoric as well. They make it look like a really interesting landscape. So
Yeah,
I can
definitely.
understand why you get sucked into taking photos of them, as I've
Yeah, and
done millions
again,
of
the
times.
light. So this is Ronnie Creek, which is most of the way into the park before you get to Dove Lake, and awesome spot for photos. Like the way the shadows were playing in the valley, it was great, and it gave us a lot of opportunity for high contrast. So the color version of this is great too. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with something like that.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. Can't go wrong with that.
I think I've got one more. Have I? Have I done? I don't know how many I've done anyway.
Maybe press the button to find out. Oh, there he is. I knew there'd be a wombat.
I was speechless when I shot this, and I'm not blowing my own. Like, to see this stuff, man, like, I don't get this in Victoria. You don't see a bloody wombat in Ocean Grove. So,
Backlit.
yeah, I was very fortunate because the wombat was literally 180 degrees behind us. So it was playing with front light on it, which I thought was really cool. And I got a few shots of it and zooming in, mucking around, blah, blah. I happened to be standing right beside Rhonda, who had her 150 to 400
Oh, did she just?
F4.
Wow.
And I said, Rhonda, would you be ever so kind to loan me that lens? And she agreed. And no sooner had she handed me the lens that the wombat went under the boardwalk and then started making its way up the hill, being rim lit, if you don't mind. I mean, so it was just like, okay, now hopefully he gives me not just a wombat's butt, but he gives me a little turn and I get that side profile of the ears and the whiskers and stuff. So again, when you're shooting this sort of stuff, you're forever looking for that different angle. But yeah, this was really cool. And again, this is a super quick edit, but not far out of what I just needed for the highlights off the fur that was being rim lit, which naturally painted in the shadows, and gave a pretty cool effect. I'm really happy with that.
I like the ears and the whiskers are very cool.
Yeah, well, it's very clearly a
What
vombatus.
what you can't see or hear on this shot is Rhonda screaming to Brendan, "Give me my bloody lens back. I want to get the same shot." And it was
Yeah.
this big tug of war on the thing, and
Yeah.
Rhonda's only about 5 foot, and I saw Brendan push her off into the bushes and run
Yeah.
off with the lens.
I held my own. It was fine. I've got, yeah.
And poor Rhonda, yeah.
Rhonda will want royalties from this image now, so I better remember that next
Yeah,
time I
I
see
must
her.
admit, that's probably the best looking ass we've had on this show, I reckon.
Goes without saying.
Yeah.
So there you go,
Cool.
folks. That's a little snapshot of five images each of what we captured on this trip. And to be honest, we could have probably put up 500 each because it was absolutely crazy. This hasn't really even showed off the forest areas or other parts around Cradle as well. But yeah, a bit of a snapshot for you. So now I'll stop sharing the screen. Let's see if I completely kill the podcast. Shall we? Are you ready, Cam?
I
You
hope you
ready for
shut down
this?
your other web things. Okay. Oh, lucky.
We're back.
Ooh,
We're back.
excellent.
Yeah, cool. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And we do get a lot of feedback from people wanting to see more images. So maybe in a month's time when we do the Great Ocean Road, we might do the same thing with a
Yeah.
follow-up podcast
Do you
from
know
there.
the easiest way people will see more images of Cradle and Tarkine?
If they go to your website.
No. If they go to our website, dsps.com.au, and actually book in for this in this tour, this exact tour next year in August.
How's the cross
How's that?
promotion, Cam?
That's
Look at
pretty
you,
good,
you're
isn't it?
getting the hang of this. It's
I'm
good.
getting the hang of this. August 15 to 20. So we'll still have beautiful fungi around and all a bit of snow, hopefully, on the mountains and stuff like that.
Ooh, yes,
So it'll
please.
be a bit cooler, but if you want to see shots like this, but even probably more interesting with some snow-capped mountains, you need to go to dsps.com.au. We still these places are still available. We've only just put this out. But get on there, put a deposit down. You've got over a year to pay it back. So
That's right.
borrow the money, steal it, sell something, sell your firstborn, whatever it is. Get on this trip and come and join us.
Look, we can't promise you an aurora, but we'll certainly have a go.
You know what? August time, if it's clear, we actually do get a few auroras in that time of year. But again, we won't promise that. And if you do go to bed, like Jack, Rhonda, Julie, or Anne, or
Ooh,
who else was
name
there? Who
names. You
else was
said you
there?
weren't going to do that.
Jack, Julie. Who else was
Rhonda and
there?
Anne.
Rhonda and Anne.
Yep,
It's just those four.
that was four.
Yeah, they went to bed.
Never mind. Never mind.
Crazy.
Yep. They can. They'll just screenshot my Aurora photo and say it was theirs.
They'll probably sue us, to be honest, but name
No, they won't.
him.
So real quick, I just want to do a quick bit of gear talk. That obviously showing off the photos went a bit longer than we thought it would, but that's fine. If you're keen on a good travel tripod, Cameron, I must admit, I've got a thing for your tripod.
Oh, got a thing for me.
And I may have just ordered one for myself.
Ah, did you? Right here. Yeah, the travel tripods are good. I use the Manfrotto B-Free series, shall we say. I've got a couple of them. I've got the B-Free travel one, but I've also got the B-Free, I think it's also called the GT, which is a slightly
Yes,
bigger one.
that's right.
But yeah, we had a lot of discussions about tripods.
We did. Well, mainly because we used them so often on this
Yeah,
trip.
that's right.
So
Yeah.
we did. And our good friend Ian, who came on the trip, has just ordered the Manfrotto B-Free GT X Pro version from
All
me.
right,
So
he did. Yes. Okay, cool.
one thing I love about the X Pro is the fact that you can turn the center pole sideways, which means you can then get the legs very close to the ground for one,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
also it instantly turns your camera sideways without the need of an L bracket. So that's pretty cool as well. So
It is.
big fan of those tripods. We are not sponsored in any way, shape, or form by Manfrotto. If you're watching Manfrotto, feel free to send me a free tripod for just plugging the hell out of your tripods.
Yeah, do it and get me one because I've been using it for years as well. One person who will be buying a new tripod will be Anne. Anne, he's booked in onto my Scotland tour next year, and she currently is not coming unless that tripod is thrown in the bin.
So I think, Anne, you need to get yourself a Manfrotto B-Free tripod, not necessarily the GT version, but you definitely need, yeah, that thing. Look, what I will say in her defense is it probably did the job, but barely went once it was set up. But the rest of the time, yeah, I could have cheerfully pegged that thing into Dove Lake, which of course I would never do.
You know what? I've never been on a workshop where I've actually thought of destroying someone's gear. Like, seriously, like sometimes you look at stuff, you're like, oh, that's not good, that thing. You know, okay, it's not mine, I don't have to care about it. But with Anne's tripod and watching her struggle carry it along and one leg floppy all the time and the whole lot. That's the tripod, not her. Just I almost thought, I reckon I could take this out of the back of the car and just throw it in the bin here at Dove Lake and just pretend no one's seen it, just pretend we've lost it and everyone would be okay. But
There was at one point a call over the walkie-talkie. You did sort of tell me you offered me a sum of money to make that tripod
I
disappear.
did. Yep. Yeah. It was it's yeah. And it just like and we're all fun and games with Anne, but like some people, obviously, equipment's expensive and stuff like that. But in some cases, some bits of equipment are detrimental to photography for some people. And if you're spending 5, 10 minutes fluffing around with this, a tripod or whatever it might be, or a filter system or whatever, even a backpack, and you miss the shots, then, that's something that you could have fixed by just buying something maybe a bit more advanced or a bit more newer or whatever it is. So there's a lot goes into saying keep your gear up to date if you can.
Absolutely. So Cam, we're going to leave the photography word of the week till next week. We don't have a deer cam. So if you would like to send us a deer cam question, by all means, you can hit us up at dsps.com.au. You can hit us up on Facebook. All the links are linked below. So there's no excuse for you to get in contact with us. Just come find us. Cam, when people go to dsps.com.au, there is a wonderful little button there that's called beer donations. Do we have any people who have donated us a beer this week?
They must do because I'm drinking some. Buy us a beer. Yeah, on the front page, you can press a button. We do. We have some beer donations. Marion H, Sarah E, and we've actually got a new person that's donated this week, Mel H. Great.
Mel H, welcome aboard, Mel. Good to
Thank
have
you, Mel.
On.
I'm assuming Mel's a boy, maybe.
Well, Mallory.
Mallory, yeah, maybe.
Thanks,
but
Mel.
Anyway, thanks,
Appreciate
Mel.
It.
As always,
love it. Mr. Blake,
he's going to stop watching this show for sure.
The cogs of industry don't stop; they wait for no man. What have you got coming up this week?
No sleep is one of them. Oh, you know what we haven't discussed? Let's not worry about what's going on next week.
Okay.
Let's talk about the hat you're wearing and what happened.
I was going to bring it up, but...
So,
folks, if you follow us on social media, which, why wouldn't you? I don't know. If you follow us on Facebook, Cam and I, when we do run one of these multi-day workshops, we have taken it upon ourselves to introduce a round of golf at the end for the day after these workshops.
Yes.
We're quite fortunate in the fact that we get to these great locations. And generally speaking, there's pretty nice golf courses nearby.
Yes.
I was very fortunate to be hosted by Mr. Blake at Ratho Farm, Australia's oldest golf course at Bothwell in central Tasmania.
Yes.
First of all, competition aside, what a berserk golf course. I don't think I've seen anything like it. It was absolutely amazing. We get to the first tee and I'm looking like, which way do we go? And you point, oh, it's down there. And then I get on tiptoes and look over four rows of fences and a sheep yard and a shearing shed. And oh, there's the green there.
Yeah. Let's put a golf course around a farm.
Incredible.
Works a treat. Yes.
It does. And you're literally playing golf in paddocks and stuff, which was a blast. It was an absolute
thrill. We had a good time.
It was a pleasure. We had great weather. Look, the golf was scratchy at times from both of us.
Wasn't great, as per video.
Yes. I did better on the front nine than the back nine. You did better on the back nine than the front nine.
Yes.
Hence why I lost by one measly stroke, but that's okay.
Yes.
That's fine. So I'm happy to give that. I did have borrowed clubs. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, but hang on. You did give yourself an extra handicap and said, I will not use that as an excuse on the show.
No, I would never do something
you just
like
did.
That. So,
but it was great fun. Thank you for coming along. That does make it 2-0.
2-0. I've got some work to do.
And
there is no end game. There's no finish line. It's just 2-0 at the moment. So
surely at some stage you're gonna, isn't there going to be what's that thing when they get to a point and you can't lose in Stableford?
This goes ad infinitum until
what is that thing in match play? There's a thing in match play where they get to a point where they can't lose.
It's called Dormy.
Dormy. Yes.
You're lying Dormy, where you can't actually lose. But no, we're never going to get to Dormy. We're just going to keep on rocking. Very happy to say that the next leg of this golf extravaganza will be on one
of my
old home courses. So
right
back at you. Hopefully, I don't know. Who knows? Lonsdale Links is not an easy golf course. This is not a golf show.
Is that where I won the when you won your championship? No.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so, okay. I'm a champion there already.
Yeah. Was that at Lonsdale?
It was, yeah.
There you go. Very good. See, you know the court.
I birdied the first hole and chipped in from the bunker.
Stop it. That's never going to happen again.
What's coming up for me? I am tomorrow night. I'll be on a boat crossing Bass Strait about this time.
A wave.
And it's meant to be a little bit rough. My run of smooth sails has probably run out.
Uh-oh.
So it's meant to strong wind gust and gale warnings heading up that way. So... That's okay. James Bogues will get me over there.
He will.
So I'm up to Bright. We're going up to Bright to do my autumn workshop as of the Friday next week. So Friday this week. So that when this comes out, I'll be up at Bright, and then I come back onto the island, and I'm straight into the two-day workshops I'm doing with Cheryl with the macros. So I've got a busy week and a half coming up.
Awesome.
So yeah, I'm. I'll have time to sort of do everything at some stage in between bits and pieces, but such is life. What about
That's
you?
right.
You are you shopping?
Yeah, back into the shop. It's look, as invariably happens when I go away with you for a week, I come back to a fair bit of work.
Things go to
That's not what I
shit.
was going to say.
All right,
I
okay.
have very good staff that do a great job while I'm away. So thank you, Rachel, for looking after the shop while I was away, and Abby, my daughter, who went in for a few hours as well. So everything was great from that respect, but a lot of the big printing I like to do myself. So I'm sort of running through a few jobs at the moment where I'm ticking off some big prints, which is great. I've also got a canvas sale running until Friday.
Yes.
So
While the boss is away.
when this goes out, that sale would have ended. But you know what? If you get in contact with me and you say that you heard it on the Down South Photo Show that there was a 25% off canvas sale and you missed it by a day, I will still honor it for you. That's totally fine.
Oh, what a guy. And can they get it same day?
No, it's going to be a few weeks before you get your canvas, but you will get 25% off. So there is that.
Can I take advantage of that?
Yes, you certainly can. You get more than 25% off anyways.
Excellent.
So that's fine. So I'll
Sounds
actually
good.
add more back on for
Yeah,
you.
it's a 10% off for me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Aside from that, also hoping that I can sneak down to the Great Ocean Road one day in the coming week to scout a
Yes.
couple of more locations that I want to get to for that trip that's coming up, which is sold out, but that's fine. We'll do it again next year. All linked at dsps.com.au. Cameron, I think that's the podcast. What
I
do you
think.
think?
I think we've come back with a vengeance. We've come back with a full of spirit.
There was a fair bit of meat on that bone.
There was. Hey, just a quick thing. Tomorrow, just letting
Yes.
you know, I'm playing golf again.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, just
Awesome.
thought that, you know.
And back to Ratho.
Yeah, our mate Chris, you know, truck driver Chris.
Absolutely.
He may or maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know if he's taking a day off work to do it or not. Maybe no. Maybe I'm
Well,
not. Maybe I'm playing on my own. I think
that was 4 days ago, so it doesn't matter. It's already
doesn't matter. He's
happened.
fired anyway. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Well, I expect photos. That'd be brilliant.
Awesome.
Okay, great. All right. Well, you have a great time up in Bright.
Thank you.
Come back. Welcome back to Victoria. I'll
Awesome.
get my nose to the grindstone and make some awesome canvas prints for some people. And
Sure.
we will see you all for episode 120, maybe next week. I don't know. Depends on where Mr. Blake is.
Yeah, maybe I think we can make it work.
We'll squeeze it in. Maybe we get Cheryl on as well.
That could be
Maybe.
interesting.
Controversial.
Controversial.
Right.
I don't
That's
think
it.
she I don't think she'd do it. I think she'd get nervous around us.
Get a bit gun shy. That's it.
Maybe.
That's the podcast. We'll see you for episode 120 next week. Bye for now.
Ciao for now.